This is HPR episode 2687 entitled, Some Additional Talk About Characters, 02. It is hosted by Lost in Bronx, and is about 13 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Lost in Bronx takes a look at what sorts of characters work best for certain types of tales. Part 02. Today's show is licensed under a CC0 license.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, this is Lost in Bronx, and you'll have to forgive the sound quality. I'm in the car right now. Today, I want to talk a little bit more about characters. There are a couple of ways to approach characters or the inclusion of certain types of characters in stories. Often, the choice of character is dependent upon the storyteller's style of story creation. Some people create their characters first and then think of interesting things for those characters to do. Other people will create the situation and say, what's the best type of character to tell this story? Both of them are valid, and probably the most useful technique would be to mix them. So if you have, maybe it's an espionage action thing, well, I don't know what we need, but I want someone who can do all the action. I want maybe an undercover agent. I want this action character. So I don't know where this character is going to fit, but I'm going to make this character fit because this is a concept I want in my action story. Say it's a terrorist attack, crazy anti-government terrorists, and they've gotten a hold of some kind of secret nuke that can't be detected with magical radiation detectors. And they've smuggled it into Washington, D.C. because they're going to get rid of all their perceived enemies. And that's the premise. We've come up with that premise. So what kind of characters do we need? Well, I guarantee you that if the government knew about the bomb in advance, they would find the bomb. Because they would arrest absolutely everybody who was even remotely involved, and they would get the information out of them. So in order for this story to work, they can't know about it in advance. So it's a complete surprise, right? So if it's a complete surprise, then our action hero doesn't know how to defuse it. That means we need somebody else. Again, just making it up, a retiree from the army who was trained in defusing nuclear weapons. That sounds like a very specific thing, but in point of fact, there are a bunch of people in the world who've been trained in that. Some of them are currently serving, some of them are retired. This is a retiree. Maybe we want the retiree to be a woman because we don't often see them in roles like this. So, here's our story. We've got it. We've got an action tale, we've got crazy villains, we've got a terrible calamity that needs to be averted. We have an action hero who's found out about it and is chasing this thing down and will find it. And we have someone who is poised to help. These two, we have to have them cross paths. And once they do, the rest of it we can fill in as we go. In that little scenario, we have a plot and we have a character that we want to fit into this plot. We had that character walking in, remember? And more or less wrapped the plot around the character. But we've also gone at character through creating a character first and putting them in a good story, and creating the story and putting a good character in this one tale. Two different approaches. Now, you don't have to go that way. You can absolutely go one or the other entirely and come up with something fantastic. That was just an example to illustrate how you might approach creating these characters. Now, are these real characters? Are they fully fleshed out characters? No, we haven't even come up with a name for them yet. We've just come up with concepts. So what makes a good character in this context? We have to believe that these people could be real. They have to be realistic for the tale. If they're not, it's not much of a character. And you end up Like I mentioned in a previous episode, talking about character and story arcs, you end up with a character that doesn't have an arc. The character begins and ends exactly what they are. They're not really characters, they're adjuncts to the plot. Because the plot requires a character who can do all these things, and you've plopped down essentially this plot device that will function in the required manner. Not every story needs it. Now, I've said that before, and I'll say it again. Not every story needs a realistic main character. Not every story needs a character with a character arc. However, in order for that to work, we have to believe it within context of the tale. So, the less realistic the character is, the less realistic the story has to be. If the story is primarily tongue-in-cheek, or is very, very much just action point driven. That is, from moment to moment to moment, it is nothing but action. We just need a character to get us from A to B to C to D. In that case, we don't need super developed characters. If it's done right, we don't even have time to get to know them. We're just following them in their crazy exploits on this story. Or if the story is more or less done, not necessarily for laughs, but is lighthearted, you can get away with having a character who's sort of like that because it's goofy and funny and halfway to being a joke. That flies. That does fly. There are action comedies that are exactly like that. There are also action comedies where the characters all have depth. It depends on the style of story you're telling, the style of plot or action that you're offering to your audience. However, if we are not doing that type of story, and we have a story where we want characters with depth, what I just described for our espionage thriller tale with the crazy terrorists, what we want to do is we want to flesh those characters out, the main characters, and possibly even the villains. Because in the end, if we have a story like that that has good guys and bad guys, your good guys are only as powerful, they're only as good as your bad guys are bad. Your bad guys have to be formidable. If they are not formidable, your hero is perceived as never really having been threatened to begin with. That is the problem with a lot of action tales. We have these characters that are so over the top powerful. We all know how this is going to end. We all know where it's going with stories like that. The character is so overwhelmingly powerful that the bad guys have no chance against this person. And there's no point in even watching the tale. What we probably want is a character who has a certain amount of depth, a certain amount of nuance. And that includes both the hero and the villain. Because if the villain is complicated, if the villain has levels, we don't have to agree with a single thing that villain is doing, but if we see where that villain is coming from, even though the conclusions they come up with are ridiculous, their purpose in doing what they're doing has reasoning behind it. It might be flawed, it might be insane, but there is reasoning behind it. That character has more depth. They have more power and investment in the story because they obviously have thought all this through. Not just by the amount of traps that they set for the heroes, by how complicated their evil plot is. They are deeply committed to what they're doing. If you have a villain who's not committed, they're not much of a villain. They're just a thug or whatever. They're not interesting. In order to be interesting, your villain has to be committed, highly committed to what they're doing. And that makes the stakes that much higher. Because not only have they come up with this diabolical plan to blow up Washington, D.C., they are committed to the cause. Meaning, if their plan doesn't work, they're going to keep trying. They're going to come up with something else. These are not people that give up. That makes your hero have to rise above themselves, essentially. You have a villain who's risen above themselves. So you have heroes that have to at least meet the capacity of the villain. If the hero is bland, if the hero can win easily, there's no point. There's no point. So that's just heroes and villains when it comes to characters. But let's change it up. Instead of hero and villain, let's say protagonist and antagonist. Now, antagonist, I don't really like the word sometimes because it can be a little confusing. antagonist very often gets conflated with antagonizing. And an antagonist in a story does not necessarily antagonize the protagonist. They only oppose them. You can have a drama, a heavy drama, where maybe it's two brothers, and it's a story about fathers and sons, a classic story about maybe a working class father who always wanted his sons to do better than he did, and maybe one of them went to college and the other one didn't. And the one who went to college, we'll mix it up a little bit, the one that went to college is the screw-up. That one never did make it. That's the ne'er-do-well son. And the one that didn't rise above is the long-suffering son. The screw-up, for whatever reason, is still the golden boy in the family. The family still looks at this kid like he's the greatest, but he's not. And the other one is just average and often forgotten because all he does is work for a living. Maybe he's a plumber. All he does is do plumbing work all day and come home. And he watches football on the weekends, and they go camping in the summer, and that's about as exciting as this guy's life is. Whereas the other brother, who went to college, became very successful in whatever business he's doing, and he flies all over the world, and he goes to all these exotic places, but his life is in a shambles. And he doesn't have a friend in the world because he's been so horrible to people. He's a screw-up. He screwed up left and right. And there is your drama. Because the father, who had all these great wishes, has died. And these two sons have come together at the time of the funeral, and we are going to examine their lives. We're going to see their lives. And if we're following one son in particular, that son may or may not be our protagonist. Perhaps we're following the ne'er-do-well son. He's our antagonist. He's not a great guy, because this isn't necessarily a story of redemption. This is not one of those stories where you can insert someone who doesn't need a character arc. It's a heavy drama. Everybody needs an arc. And what is this guy's arc? Where is he going? What revelation is he going to get that's going to bring him somewhere where he learns something new, either about himself or about his family or about his brother, his father? What's going to happen with this guy? Now, I chose him because he's not a likable character. That puts the onus on the storyteller to make this guy tolerable. He's not a great guy, but he's our main character. He's not our protagonist. He might be our antagonist. Because the guy we like, the other brother, the good brother, the one who works hard, who provides for his family, who never met his father's expectations because his father's expectations were unrealistic or unfair. And he dealt with that burden at home, close to home, in the same town, while the other brother went out traipsing around, living the high life and screwing it all up. And we're not following the good brother, because following the good brother would get boring. The guy's a good guy, right? And he's suffering, and it's sad, but he's a good guy. We want to follow the interesting guy who's lived the interesting life and somehow screwed it up. That's a story I want to see. So anyway, this was just a little more thought about how you might pick a character, come up with a certain type of character for a certain type of story, and what we need them to do in our story. Just a few thoughts, that's all. If you have any comments on this episode or any other, please leave them in the section for it on Hacker Public Radio. Or better yet, create your own episode. Because you have opinions, and you have interests, and we want to hear about them. This has been Lost in Bronx. Thank you for listening. Take care.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.